Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. You know, once I had Charlotte, when she was about 8 months, you are a huge Disney person.
Oh, yeah.
And she had, Tansy had a Disney pass. My mom, for some reason, had gone with one of her coworkers or one of the, you know, one of her people that she works with and does taxes. And they had gone to Disneyland and her friend had talked her into getting the pass. It was right around that time.
Yeah.
And Charlotte was about 8 months old.
Yeah.
And we...
Before we started sneaking her in?
Yeah, before we started sneaking her in, we were like, let's take her to Disneyland one day. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, that saved my life, I think, for being a new mom. Mm-hmm. Not only was we were hanging out, you and I got to hang out with a human and not talk baby talk or listen to crying. And, you know, just doing all this stuff that is just, you know, amazing while you see it now, it was amazing. But when you're in it and you're no sleep, it's just hard. And then my mom had the pass. So me, Tansy, and my mom, not every time, but most of the time, mm-hmm. I think for not obviously in summer months because we didn't have that pass.
Yeah.
But the main months that you could go and there wasn't blackout times, we pretty much went at least once a month, wouldn't say?
Once a, so there's a couple of times we were almost once a week. Like we find like, a day, we just find a random day and like, hey, let's go.
It was usually like a Tuesday or Wednesday, I feel.
It was always midweek.
Midweek. Mm-hmm. And we would go. And the greatest thing was, is, you know, and Charlotte could go on, I mean, all the little kiddie rides.
Correct.
Like even a couple rides, like the Rockets on California Adventure, I don't feel she should have gone on that.
She did. She handled it.
She handled it. She was 8 months old. She didn't care. But in my head, I'm like, she could fall into the water.
That was one of the only kid rides that we could fit on. We had to throw your mom on most of them because our big asses were like, can't fit in the seat. Sorry, it's not happening. Not happening. Sheila, your turn.
You're a feather in the dust. So we did that. And it was great because we'd go on a few little kiddie rides. She would pass out.
Oh, yeah.
We go over, this is before when you could hop, remember?
Yep.
And we go over to California Adventure, maybe get a drink.
Get that margarita.
Get a margarita. We'd sit there.
Those were some good margaritas there.
They were so good. And they still are. I just haven't gone, because usually we go to Disney.
I haven't gone in a while. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because now you're like, well, we can only do one or I have to sell a kidney. But yeah, it was, we did that all the time. We did it for a couple years until she, you know, until she wasn't free anymore. But we snuck her in that last year.
Yeah.
Because it's until she's three, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We snuck her until she was four, but Charlotte was is very tall.
But you had her in the basket. You had her in the basket. Carried her in there. But I have no children. You had her in the stroller and like, laid her down and you
put the blanket under her.
Just
told her,
you're like, just lay there and don't say a word.
Just pretend you're asleep. Lay there, whatever. Yeah. Just don't stick out your feet because we would cover up. Sorry, Disney.
Which, you know, Disney, we did put a lot of money in when we made it in. So, you know.
Yeah, you got your money.
That
we paid $9.
That bubble wand that we had to buy really got its work on.
That would leak the bubble wand. And it would leak all the bubble juice everywhere. And you're like, I just paid $20 for this fucking thing and I'm wearing all the bubbles.
Anyway.
But that was honestly one of my favorite best memories.
We have a lot of good pictures for that.
It was me being a newer mom.
Yeah.
It was hanging out with you. My mom was there. I got to experience, like, you and my mom are very, you guys went to Disneyland without me.
We went on our own. We were there for, I think, 14 hours. We went on almost every ride.
Yeah. I mean, you guys did.
I didn't know if I was going to keep up. I mean, Sheila was on a roll, but we went on everything. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
One of my best memories of Disneyland, actually, with her.
Yeah, she, it was just so special. Like, that time where we would do that, even though I'm not a huge Disney person, that was just, I loved it. I loved you with Charlotte. I loved seeing you with Charlotte. I loved my mom with Charlotte. I loved all the firsts. I love all the wows.
Yeah.
I love all the stuff. And it's like, those are one of my most special memories of you, me, and my mom doing that and just meeting. We'd meet at TGI. Yep. Okay, this is our secret. We would meet at TGI Fridays down the street.
Oh, yeah, park the car.
Only park the car. And then we'd all go in one car so we didn't have to pay $30. Yep. Now it's what, $50? Or I don't know what it is.
No, it's like 30, I think 30 to 55 now. It's crazy. 53 now? 25?
35.
35?
82. 74.
Is that a three? Are you flipping me off? I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to help you out.
Well, fuck you too, man. I'm just kidding.
That is honestly, I mean, you and I together have so many memories. And
those, you know what though, too, not just hanging out with you and your mom and Charlotte, those are like stress relievers for me back in the retail industry. Like just to get out of reality for a minute was like the best thing for me. And to go around and be like, you know, and also when you go with a kid to Disneyland, you got to be mentally prepared versus when you go by yourself. I am a Disneyland fan. I will go by myself because no one's dragging me anywhere. But when you go with a kid, you got to like prep yourself going, okay, I got a kid today. So we're cool. Like, you know, therefore you don't feel like, oh man, that was just like a waste of bunch of money. Like nothing like that.
Yeah.
But it would never felt like that with you guys at all. It never felt like that. It was always just, and it was only a few hours. You know, we'd only go for about 5 hours and we'd be done. We're like, okay, cool. Let's go.
By the time we got there and then we'd do some stuff, she would take a nap. We'd go maybe have a drink or just walk around or whatever.
Correct.
She'd do a couple more rides and then you would wait till the traffic died down a little bit. You weren't rushed.
Yep.
We could go because we had passes. You know, remember we had a stroller so we could pack waters and all the bullshit. So we didn't spend, you know, we spent money, but we didn't spend like oodles and oodles of money.
No, not at all.
But those are like...
And we got to see the cool things, the Christmas time.
Yeah.
Remember we ran into Santa for the Coca-Cola thing and we're like, oh, we get to sit on Santa's lap now. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we did some really great things and those memories, those are actually like one of my favorite memories with you because it was you with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I think also as much as, you know, she doesn't remember, you know, she remembers certain things and she always remembers that you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, not obviously at 8 months, but she definitely remembers, you know, Auntie Tansy was in the pictures. And that is like so special to me, even though on a good day, if you said, do you want to go to Disneyland tomorrow? I'd be like, I do not. I would rather gargle rusty glass.
It's a little harder now.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten bigger.
And it's a thing now. It wasn't a thing before.
Well, it became a thing. You know, you had the Avengers campus. You have Star Wars Land. Like, it really did increase to where there's a lot more attractions. I personally love it, but I couldn't go in a group when you want to cover so much space.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it would be a lot harder now with her because her ADD would be like ADHD would be somewhere else. And I'm not saying she has it. I'm just saying it's a natural form when you're really excited about something.
Oh, yeah.
You just start going, and what's over here? And what's over here?
And
oh, wait,
so
let's
much.
Go over here.
Yeah, yeah, and there's so much.
So much to look at now that you got to invest a lot of time in. And it really, I haven't been there since, I went last year on my birthday because I found a gift card after my dad passed that he had given me and I wanted to use it. And I ended up buying it. I bought a jacket and my little brother and my dad's widow bought me a ticket for my birthday and I just went by myself. And I think it was the most peaceful time because it was kind of like, there was so much stuff I hadn't seen for so long because it's been so long since I'd gone. And I look back now, I could never have done this with a bunch of people, you know?
Yeah.
It's draining, you know, but there's so many people and but it's draining to get pulled everywhere and to have that freedom to go, I just want to sit down and look at the ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, sit down and look
at the
ducks.
I want to watch the people walking.
Yeah.
Because that's the best thing.
Oh, yeah.
God,
Disneyland is fantastic.
Disneyland and airports, man. I mean, they should. I would be CEO.
Yep.
I would be CEO hands down.
Agree.
It's so good. So, obviously, wonderful, great things, Disneyland. We talked about how that was just a most amazing. I just have such good memories about that. And then, you know, there are things that happen that are not the best memories, and a lot of things have happened to you. Yeah. And I've mentioned that, you know, you're starting this new job, which besides the fact that I'm so proud of you for getting something just out of that wheelhouse, right?
Sure.
We know this. But you had, what happened to you during the last 3 years, let's say, where it was really kind of...
When I cut you out?
Yes.
Yeah. Not purposely,
not
of
purposely.
Course.
Like, no. I know.
You know,
I know.
It came at a time I made a decision to... Complete, you know, I was skyrocketing, like I was really moving up the ladder in Burbank with TJ Maxx to the goals that we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And I took a turn because my dad wasn't getting any better. So in that sense is one of the thoughts I made, which, you know, Layla was one of my mentors for TJ Maxx.
And it sounds like an amazing person.
She was really trying to gunning for me. I mean, she was giving me projects to do near my dad's house where I can stay at my dad's and just work out there.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, she was trying anything possible, but really trying to mentor me because she knew like what I was going through. But anyway, he took a hit.
He had cancer.
A lot of cancer. We could talk all day about it, but I'm not going to go to that. But things kept popping up. And I just made a decision. I was in a new relationship who was also out there. And I thought that maybe, like, this is what the universe is telling me is, like, it's time to, like, you know, like, you start going for what you're gunning for. And one of the most important things, my dad was the most important man in my life. And to this day, he still is, you know. And in that sense is moving, transferring to a brand new store, to a store that I've never known nobody. No one knows me out, a new region, a new district, everything. I pretty much dropped everything and transferred to a new store, kept my job and moved. And I think at that time period, I had to cut, kind of like when I went to school and I was like, hey, I'm going to cut you guys out for a year. I just want to finish. And I did. And everyone understood it. But this time it was more of like, there was just no time to tell anybody anything. It just kind of went sour. And what I thought would be a little bit longer, I only had 8 months, you know. And, you know, I heard your podcast recently, and if I tear up, I'm sorry. But
never.
You know, you mentioned time and you mentioned regrets. And I still remember there's still like one moment where he just wanted to watch a second movie. And I had to go. I had to work, and I left. And he died 3 days later. And it was like, you know, you think about regrets, and I look back now. I'm good. I really am a lot better. But you think about some stuff like that. And when you talked about regrets, I think it hits everyone differently, and everyone goes through a moment where, you know, everyone has a connection some way. And I think we all experience death in different ways, but I think there are some that just hit you harder than anything. And so in that time period, like you're saying, I took time off. And it was the first time, and probably since before you knew me, that I took a breath.
Yeah.
And it was like taking that time off was like, I felt like it was my dad telling me, like, it's time. Like, just cut it, you know, relax for a minute. Now, did I relax? No. I isolated for quite a long time. Depression's real. I knew how to teach people, like work with people going through it. But when I went through it, I didn't understand a lot of it and how your brain completely takes over. And it took over me. It was a dark place. Therapy. I went through two therapists, two very strong ones. And the one I currently have is very good. And I was talking to them weekly. And the dark place, what I mean is I never felt, it was never suicidal or anything like that, but it was like, you just start questioning, like, what the hell am I here for?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? You know? And, you know, you look at these jobs, you look at politics, you look at everything going on and it's draining. You and I are talking about money. It's stressful, you know? And like, where can you go? Where can you go to just live happy? And your time's running out as you're trying to figure this stuff out, and it's draining. So,
and with that being said, you said, you know, my dad wanted to watch a second movie and I had to go to work.
Exactly.
Why did you have to go to work? Because you needed a job, because you needed the money.
Exactly.
And it's like, do I think we should sit in castles and just be fed, you know, marshmallows? No. But it's like those moments where you just say, shit, you know, that was, and then, you know, unfortunately, he passed. Your dad passed.
Well, and the odd part about that, but him passing that day was he went to the hospital that 3 days later. And I was at the hospital with him and late to work. And I said, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow morning. And I left him at the hospital and went to work. And you think about, no one offered to cover. No one offered to, you know. And again, it's like, is that their job? Or like, you hate everybody for a little while. And the next morning, I showed up and he went to cardiac arrest. And like, right within the first half hour that I was there with me and my little brother. And it was done. Like, and in that sense, like it's like I felt like he waited till I came back, you know.
He did, yeah.
But he didn't know what day it was. He thought it was my birthday that day. He didn't know that it was still 2 days later, and you know, and unfortunately, he died the day before my birthday. And And I know that if he knew this today, he would kill him. Like he, that's not the thought he wants to keep, you know, and I'm not going to keep it that way. I'm going to, you know, last year I tried a little bit. This year I'll keep going is I'm going to keep living the way I need to live. But it took a minute to get back on, you know, to get back on the horse for everything.
Yeah, and the, you know, as a friend who, as a sister, if you will, I think of you as my sister. I think of you as my family. Of course. I wanted to fix. I'm a fixer. Yes. I'm a planner.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do. And I kept thinking, if you come and hang out, if you come and see Charlotte, if you come and hang out with us, just me and you and Charlotte, or just me and you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to see you and you know, that was wonderful. But I mean, I know you had to process it in the way that worked for you, not for me. And that was one thing I had to remember because I didn't remember. Yeah. I just was like, why won't she just come and hang out with us? Or why don't I go visit her and sit with her and listen to her cry or listen to her talk? Or we just stare at each other and we have a staring contest to see who breaks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know now, obviously, at first I was kind of like, why doesn't she want my help? But then you see it and I see it clearer in the last. That's why I was like, okay, if you can do this, great. If you can't, great. But I'll still continue to invite you.
Well, there's another side to this. I was angry with you for a long time at that time period. And I was angry with all my friends. And the reason is I told therapy this too. I had a family. I have one of the most supportive families in the world. I have a family that people are jealous of, like that people wish they had, like if they didn't have that, 100%. Like, God, I wish I had that, you know? And I'm not trying to brag about them, but my dad and my mom built this family that is just so cohesive with each other. We're all in different levels, but like, were there, you know, and even them, I knew nothing of how to use anybody. And then it just made me angry with everybody. You know, one, it's okay with my family because they're going through this. They understand. They know I can't, you know, but my friends, like, I hated everybody. I hated it for a long time. And no one did anything wrong. It was just like, this was the first time I ever like felt like I was left alone with no support. But the reality is, as I learned, is if you've never gone through it, you don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing. It took me months to learn that. The only one, Carrie, was the only one who really was in it and I talked to most because she was very pushy and very forceful, but she lost two parents prior to me losing my dad. So she understood what was happening. And she wasn't on the top of the line. She just knew. And she also gave me that perspective of going, look, if they've never lost someone, like, this is different, you know? And my friend who knew me for 30-something years, I was angry with her for a long time. Like, how can you not be helpful? How can you not be supportive? But in reality, y'all don't know what to do. And you really don't, you know? I know you've gone through some stuff in your life where it was really depressing in the past. And I'm sure you've gotten angry with me or other friends for same reasons. And you start to realize like, well, if they don't know what I'm going through, like, how are they supposed to be supportive? And I think that's the part that a lot of people don't get. And I'm learning. Granted, do I know it all? No. But
what?
But I was really angry with you for a while. But you didn't know it because there was nothing to tell you. And in therapy, I learned, like, dude, she didn't do anything wrong. Like, you just have to kind of get through this, you know? And that was the part. So me isolating myself seemed like the easiest way to do any of that.
Yeah. And you did.
Yeah.
And I would be like, oh my gosh. Like, I just kept thinking it would fix, it would help. So I kept inviting you.
Yeah.
And I understand. I did take it personally in the beginning. And then I was like, you know what? Everybody's different. I had, you know, a terrible thing go in my life with all the fertility stuff. And what I did was I just compartmentalized it.
Yeah.
So I put it in a box, but I still, no one was the wiser. Mm-hmm. No one knew that I wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
And still don't, you know, because I cry in my car for 5 minutes. I pick myself up, I dust myself off, and everybody handles it differently. And I couldn't understand, like, why isn't she just letting me in? But I get it. I understand it. Mm-hmm. And there's no, it's, you know, it's life. And sometimes life isn't X, Y, and Z. Yeah. It's A and then Z and then B. And then today I feel like this. And you let me, I came over and I spent the night and I, you know, just listen. We just talked and we watched stupid shows and we just sat there and we, whatever. And that was fine.
Taylor Swift, baby.
Yeah. You know, that was fine. But then I wanted you, you know, I wanted to do that all the time because I was like, I got to help her. I got to help her. And you would always say, I can't, I'm not, whatever. And that was fine. But I know that that was a hard time. And I do think, I always go back to this, it just sucks. And there's not a regret. It's the way it happened. Yeah. It was the way it happened that your dad wanted to watch the second movie. It's the way it happened that you had to go to work and leave. But it all goes back to that. It's like there's these monumental moments and you're like, I just wanted to be with my dad.
Yes.
Or I just wanted to do this. I just wanted to take time for myself or spend time with him. And yes, you did move closer. So you were able to go to those doctor's appointments.
I got some quality time. And that's the thing that I think my siblings look at a lot is I got some quality time that I think through the anger they brought up to me quite a few times. So I know I got quality time, but I think in the end, it's never enough.
I think so too. You just, you know, I had a very different relationship with my dad but I still feel things, you know, things, but just, you know, you just think like, man, I wish there was a moment where he remembered me, you know, I think that, you know,
but there's a moment that I don't think you remember. And you've told me this when he first met Charlotte, he called her Jennifer. Yeah. He remembers you. And that's the cool thing that I don't think you've also left the focus on because that, you know, we talked about this, that's their past memory, especially when you're going through dementia, what I went through with my aunt as well. Those past memories stick. And he thought your daughter was you.
Yeah.
So you were in his brain.
I was in his
some
brain.
Way,
yeah. Cause we do. As you know from last night, you just see her and I just really look so similar,
easily.
Especially at that age.
Well, I remember when you compared the pictures. Remember you put that on Instagram and I'm not on Facebook, but on Instagram. Yeah. And I was like, wow, split an image.
Yeah, totally it's just interesting. Same even fucking bangs and the hair being down to her butt. And,
exactly.
So it's just you had that time. You had that time with him. I know you went through a very hard time after. And, you know, you dealt with it the best way you knew how. And I had to not, I'm sure your other friends, same thing, you know, just didn't take it personally. I did.
No.
I did because I wanted to fix it. I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a fixer. It's just how I am. I want everything to be like a buttoned up little bow.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not. And sometimes it's dirty and it's fucking nasty. And then sometimes it's just what it is. And it's so great to... you know, obviously talking to you and having you here, but just seeing you again. And I do see a difference. Just so you know, I do see a difference in your personality.
Thank you.
I do think that you, and maybe it's partly the job that you got back in the, you know, you went and started in, you know, applying for jobs and finally, you know, you did all the things that you needed to do. And maybe you got the confidence again of that. Because, you know, you need to work. I mean, unless you win the lottery, which, you know, we're not even getting numbers.
Oh,
so.
Trust me, I'm trying.
I know,
I'm trying every day. Just kidding.
I don't even get one number, but it's fine. But, but you know what I mean? I can tell a difference from you.
Yeah.
I see the life. I see the tansy that I know that I'm sure you still have moments. I know that, you know, you were having trouble sleeping. I know you're, I'm sure.
Oh,
all
the
those,
spark was gone for a while.
It was gone. It was totally gone. And it broke my heart because I wanted to fix you and I wanted to make it better for you. And I didn't know how. So I always just feel like Charlotte's a solution because, you know, she's going to show you her stupid dance moves that are adorable. And she's going to tell you a story that you don't even care about, but you want to hear. And that is, it was really nice when I saw you yesterday. I felt like it was just, you were back, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm not taking anything away. It was your healing and you heal. Everybody heals differently. Some people choose not to heal at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're still grieving. You're still grieving, but I think you know how to handle it a little bit differently.
You know, I think the biggest problem with, in my experience is like with you, for example, when you came over and visited, which I appreciated, the reason I never asked you to come back or I never came to see you is because it's not had nothing to do with you anymore. If I wasn't me. And I wasn't, and I mean, I used to tell people like, I don't have my spark with you. Like, I can't come over here and have a drink with you and share the laughs that we always share. It doesn't make me laugh. Like, like you kind of have this sense, and like you coming over when you came to see me, I'm like, I don't know how to entertain you. I don't know what to do. Like, let me make you a drink. Let me make you some appetizers. Let me do something else, because you're trying to be yourself. I will say the biggest self-reflection that I needed, that I didn't know I needed. You know, when you lose everything, you know, I lost my cat. I lost, you know, like that whole thing died. I mean, I told you last night, I went through 6 funerals in a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, after my dad, everything's numb. Like, oh, here we go. Here's another one. Am I sad? Yeah, totally. But I'm not devastated. Like, it's just kind of like, it's just numb. And losing my apartment and knowing that I needed to move home. Who at almost 50 says I need to move home?
Like, or AKA 25.
Like, but I'm just like, I was so embarrassed to tell my friends, like, I'm moving home. It's so embarrassing. But nowadays I'm like, this is normal. But moving home was the best thing I've ever happened. My dad's wife, Diane, and Maddie, my little brother, from my dad's, you know, second marriage and everything, having them around was like the biggest blessing in the world. Good. And it gave me more like, more confidence and more umph to like wanting to go and see my siblings again. And they're like, come watch the dogs. I'm like, sure. You know, I'll come out. And you knew I watched, you know, a couple different times. And I'm like, and having the dogs at the house and having to get up and walk them. I was up at 5:30 because I'm used to getting up.
You had something to do.
You have something to do, but it's something fun.
Yep.
It wasn't jobs. It wasn't like I have to go back to retail. It was more like,
listen to people yell at me.
Yeah. And, you know, and then cooking. I'm cooking more than ever. I'm baking. I baked a freaking cobbler the other day because I was bored. Like, it's just randomness like that was kind of a spark of going, man, I found myself again. Like, I really need to get back. And going back to the gym. And, you know, and now I'm on 3 dating websites. Not saying it's happening in any way, shape, or form. Not saying there's any winners out there. But it's like still like...
It's an alligator fest, yeah, guys. There's like, nothing good in there. Like,
slim pickings when you hit this age. But my
the going sexy foxy 50s.
In my past was denied it on eHarmony, by the way. But anyway, but like my whole point is like that whole thing came back. And like even here, like you know, and I was very honest. I'm like, just let me find a job and get back to this. Because that was my next thing is like, I got the spark. I need to get a job and I need to get back to my life. I'll eventually get back on my own again. I'll eventually, you know, do this,
course,
this, and this. And then
course.
We'll eventually go back to concerts or whatever we're doing.
We can't afford concerts anymore because the prices are skyrocketing. We can't afford it. We have to sell our kidneys.
No, but those concerts, you know, that you're home by 8. Yeah. Like, those are fantastic, you know. But
where I mean, you're I'm tucked in by 8:01.
Where you're in bed by 9. But no, it just takes a minute, and for everyone it's different. And but I understand now, like, you know, you walk people through this, like, okay, what can I do to help? Like you said, you want to be the fix-it person. Now going through it and kind of like, I get it, man. I don't know what else to do, but you just gotta kind of let it go. But that spark is why I isolated, because I go, I'm not myself to anybody.
Sure.
I have no,
that makes sense,
to tell me what have you been up to. I am the most boring freaking person in the world.
You're like, well, I cry 23 hours of the day.
Exactly.
And I'm barely sleeping 1 hour.
I cried this morning, stubbed my toe, spilled my coffee, and went back to bed and slept the rest of the day.
And maybe pooped.
I don't know. Did I poop today? I don't even know. But yeah, it just, you judge yourself very much. And that self-love and that's everything that you're trying to work on from a bad relationship, from a bad breakup, just all came back. Like, everything's gone again. And I mean, it did hit, it was felt like rock bottom. You know, it did feel like,
sure,
that.
I can see that. And, you know, and then also in the workforce, as we've talked about, is like, you know, there's 80 million people trying to get jobs and you're sitting there doing it 8 hours a day.
God,
and you're not
don't
hearing
even
from
get me started. You know,
and you're not hearing from any. You're hearing ghosts and crickets and tumbleweeds.
Y'all
and you're
need
like,
coaching. Call me. Give me a call. I will be. I will start up a new logo. Can we get a new logo in the next 10 minutes? But no, it's the coaching. Yeah, it's ridiculous now. And the ATS scanning. I must have 150 different resumes just on the adjusting to job searches and everything else. It's all online. You can't contact anybody. It's draining.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives you less hope.
And when you
like,
don't hear
I can't
anything.
Find a job.
But
yeah.
I feel like they should at least go, hey, we looked at your resume, go suck it. I don't even get that. You don't even get that. You get like nothing. And you're like, did they even get it? Or am I just that big of a loser?
Well, just to let you know, I know you mentioned earlier when we were talking this morning, but some job markets post just to show on the market that they're hiring. But then you get an email saying, it's not open right now, but it will take you into consideration. I have those emails. I can send you copies.
My God.
They just post them just to show they're hiring, but they're really not. And it's gotten to that, to where, why did I apply? You know, and I got lucky with what I found. And hopefully in the future, I'm hoping it works out the way I'm looking for. But dedicated person for the company, and I think it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm actually really excited about it. So,
and that's good, and that's the spark I said I just I felt like I just saw when you I don't know, it was just really great seeing you. I feel like, you know, I took it personally in the beginning, and then I was like, I stepped back and I was like, all right, you know what? She's doing it how she's doing it. It's not the way I would do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's a wrong way.
Correct.
And I had to remember that. And I do have to remember that in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I do things very, you know, specific, obviously. And, you know, everybody handles things differently. I choose to avoid it and compartmentalize it and then have a tiny meltdown, you know, once every couple months or every, you know, week or whatever. What was really great as a side note is I saw you come back to life when we were like going to pick up Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, we go to pick her up from tutoring, and she goes to the library. She tutors at the library. And so Tansy's like, should I go in with you? I'm like, no, I was thinking you could hide in the back. And
she loves her surprises.
She loves a surprise. So then she's like, I'm like, come on, Charlotte, we got to go. We have a huge surprise when we get home. And Tansy's hiding in the back of the car. And it was old Tansy.
What was it, a Hello Kitty blanket?
No, it was Taylor Swift. It was Taylor Swift.
Oh, was that a Taylor Swift? Mm-hmm. Oh, KTS.
Yes,
all right.
But, yes. Like, but I saw the spark because you are like, okay, I'm going to go in the back. And we come in. And
You knew how long it took me to try to fit myself in between the two sets of seats, I was like, but you know, my minnow knees was not helping. I'm like, oh, there's the back now. Like, oh, my age is coming out. Couldn't do
this. I saw
10 years ago,
I saw old Tansy there, and it was so great. And it was, you know, you're still healing, obviously, but it was so great to see it because, well, you scared the fucking shit out of her.
Oh yeah. It was fantastic. I mean,
Charlotte gets in the front seat and she's not quite buckled in, and Tansy just puts her hand on her shoulder, and Charlotte turned and screamed, and all I saw was her side profile, and I laughed for like 5 minutes and possibly maybe peed a little bit. I don't know. It was so funny. We were laughing so hard, and she's like, Auntie Tansy, you scared me. And that was the Tansy.
I'm surprised she didn't punch me.
Oh my God. But that was the Tansy that I know was there. I just know it needed to come out. And there was a process to get it there. And you're still, obviously, you will always be grieving. And I know that. I'm not ignorant to that. But it was nice seeing and then just her instantly gravitating to you. She instantly, because I kept thinking, if Tansy comes over and hangs out with Charlotte, she'll feel better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's the child. Do you see that? You don't need to hear the bullshit from me and the, you know, apparently long stories I tell, whatever, losers. But
I have not complained.
Whatever, losers. Whatever, Topgolf. So it's just so great talking to you and just, you know, having you here, obviously, but just being around you again is great. And I hope, I'm so proud of you for the job, but I'm also excited because I miss my friend. And I told you that last night. I missed my friend. And you know, you had a lot. I mean, then your dad, not only did your dad pass away, then you had, I mean, granted, but you had like you said, six funerals.
Yes.
And of those six funerals, like, wasn't four of them his sisters?
Actually, three of them were his. He was the youngest, or second to the youngest. He lost his sisters in a row. The eldest sister, then the middle, then the third. Like they all left in a row after him within months of his passing.
I mean, that's just crazy.
It is weird how life does its callings on people. I didn't see that coming. Like, we knew that they all had their issues, but not like the way it hit. And then having to help out, you know, helping my mom with my aunt with dementia. And I could only imagine how anyone who has to deal with this, I learned a lot, though. And I think that's a part of the spark is, you know, you're learning things about life that you, no one prepares you for this stuff.
100%.
No, you don't think about your parents leaving you and you don't think about losing them. And you don't think about like what happens after the fact, no matter what age you are. You know, I mean, I think about my little brother and I feel like he got robbed, but reality, he wasn't going to have those years anyway. But, you know, but part of me is like, God, you got robbed. But then the other part, I'm like, I got robbed. Like I should have had 10 more years,
yep.
something.
Yep.
But you don't really know what you have. And I have a friend who lost his wife, younger than me. And to know that, like, life's not fair, you know, and you can't say it's going to get better. You just, I actually started telling people like, wow, death sucks. Cause that's all you can really say.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can, no one's going to say yeah. anything, no matter even your closest friends or your loved ones are going to make you feel better, but it sucks.
And as you get older, as we know, I don't want to get older and whatever, but, you know, and David, when he was on, he kind of said it, you just have to appreciate, but it's like, you don't want to have, I just want to bottle everything up and just hold it tight because, you know, my mom's never going to pass away. Mm-hmm. And I know that. And Charlotte's never going to get older. And I'm not going to, you know, leave the earth. And I get that. But it is, you want to treasure those moments. And sometimes you get in the mundane, like minutia shit of day-to-day shit. And I'm like, but you know, like you said, and I don't want to bring it up again, but you said, you know, I said, I'll see, you know, I had to leave. He wanted to watch a movie and I had to leave and go to work. And it's like, fuck that. Fuck, I don't want to fucking go to work. I don't want to fucking go to work because guess what happened? He still would have passed away.
Yeah.
You could have sat and watched that same fucking second movie.
I still think about that. Quite,
I bet you do.
Once in a while, I was like, I could have watched a second movie. It would not have hurt.
And you
like,
know what
I
else
would have
really,
made it. I could have made
know what
it
else
for
really
a second
pissed
movie.
Me off? You know what else pissed me off for you? Was after when I went to your house, you yeah. know, shortly thereafter. Not shortly, sure. but after. And we were talking
it
about something.
A couple months.
Yeah. And you said, nobody ever even asked me. Did they not ask you, how are you doing? Or that when are you coming back? Remember, it was like a week later? This is the true gritty of retail.
So this was a week after he passed. I got a call and telling me that they gave me my bereavement and saying that they wanted me to come back because you only get so much bereavement, like a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And unless I wanted to start using my vacation time, they wouldn't let me use my sick. By the way, I don't call out sick. You know this.
No, I know.
I've gone
to a fault. She doesn't call out sick.
And to add, during COVID, I was working mm-hmm. and covering quite a bit of shifts because I never got COVID until the tail end. I never got, I didn't even have a sniffle. So I was covering shifts left and right for people who were out. And I'm like, you can't even accommodate me for losing my father. And I was so furious on it. And the reasoning was we have inventory in a week and we're shorthanded. Mm-hmm.
I remember just,
you know,
what?
When you're in retail world, shorthanded exists every single day. And the part that what separates a person from being a leader and just being inhuman is simply understanding of you adjust to whatever the health is thrown at you. I've closed a store with two cashiers and nobody else because people called out and people at the time didn't like me. I don't know why, but they didn't like me. You know, they should, but they didn't. But like I've closed the store with two people. I've ran a line to the back of my store with only two cashiers because no one else knew how to ring. I actually brought people up to learn how to ring with me behind them because I wanted to help the customers. Like you think of things outside of the box. And for someone to tell me that, to me, that was more, it wasn't me coming back. It was a fuck you, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, this is my way of getting you out of here type of thing. I took it that way and I was very angry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I knew from that moment when I hung up and I got the doctor's note, to go on a stress leave. And then it turned into bigger. It got bigger and bigger. All legitly. I wasn't planning this. It just legitly happened. But I knew it was time. And that was like the push. That was like, we're going to push you over the cliff now. Like, here you go. You're falling.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we always say, you know, I don't want to say things happen for a reason. I'm not saying about your dad, but I'm saying is the aftermath.
Yeah.
the isolation, the, you know, just not really figuring out what the fuck do I do with this grief? How do I handle it? Whatever. But it made you finally, you got that, you hit your threshold. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time, everybody hits their threshold. You hit their threshold in relationships, you hit it in life, you hit it in, of course, I'm going to bring into organizing. I have too much shit. I need to reach out to Jennifer on InItsProperPlace.com.
Right.
And, you know, say, but you hit your threshold and you finally said, you know, it took something like my dad passing. One of the, I mean, it, your parents, right? It's how it starts. I'm not saying it's anyone else's death is left important. That's your parents.
Correct.
So, you know, whatever that looks like, and they could give two fucks. Fuck you. Fuck your horse. Fuck your face. Fuck everybody. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it.
You know,
and when you told me that,
reality.
It broke my heart. And it is. But
it's
that's reality. That is reality.
I'm not knocking them because it doesn't mean it was a bad company. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything
nature.
Like that.
It's just the reality of the business of, you know, everyone's replaceable in any part of whatever you're going to play in this world. You're going to be replaced. It doesn't mean it's always the better, but it's going to happen. But on the other level is learning to deal and get that thick skin of how am I going to get through this and what am I going to do for myself to make my life better is 100%. All you need to worry about.
Yep.
Because they can care less.
And it's just, you just need to figure out what you need to do to make yourself get back on track, whatever that looks like. It doesn't mean how you handled it was any way. Everybody handles it differently. I'm just so thankful that when I saw you yesterday, I saw the spark. I did.
Yeah.
I saw it in your eyes. I saw it. And David, when we went to sleep last night, he said, are you so happy that Tansy's here? And I said, I'm so happy. I said, David, I see the spark.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot, you know, because, you know, I missed you. And you know that.
I missed you too.
Yeah,
of course.
I know you did. I know you did. And I love you. I missed you. And that was a tough time for me because I felt like, God, you know, but I knew you'd come through. I just had to be patience. Again, not my strongest suit, not about me. And I know that. And I have to remember that. Come on, Jennifer's going to fix everything. No, she's not.
But the funny part is I've known you for so long and we've been through these things before for many reasons that there would be a whole year of podcast for this one. But like, there would be like, but
700 episodes.
It's like, it's one of those things like we're going to get through this just like we have because I can't deal with this now, but it's going to pan out, you know? But then also back to your point on your purging and organization, you know, when you start to change things in your life, and I know your clients probably need to hear this as well, is like, if you want to cut something out, you need to cut it out. And I think in that year that they've taken time off, when I knew I wanted to get rid of my job and move on, I got rid of all the benefits packets, all anything I had in files that had to do with them, award certificates, anything like that. I dumped it all. Like, I'm like, it needs to go, you know, it needs to go. And I did that with, you know, with bad relationships. Like, yeah, it was a great engagement on a beautiful cruise, but it needs to go through the shredder because like, if you're not deleting that, there's parts of your life that you keep bringing with you that could be causing that misery. And what you do for a living is actually worthwhile that I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. 100%, 1,000,000,000,000%. Yeah. And it's, you know, like I said, you hit your threshold, but it also includes all the other, the bullshit. Like you said, you just went through and you threw away shit. You got an award. You know, it was amazing. Okay, great. Whatever. But you're just like, I'm ready to move
on. Name tags.
You know, I'm ready to move on. I have clients that they have boxes of their previous work lives. And I'm like, is that something that you would reference? Like, is that something that we're making a bin for this. And I'm like, is that something that you reference? Is that something that's important to you? No, but I just did it. I want to keep the papers I did in college. Okay. But what are we doing with that kind of stuff? And it's just, you just have to clean to move forward with some things. David, you know, I'm going to say this and I've talked to David about this, but you know, he had a different relationship growing up. You know, parenting was very different, right?
Yeah.
And he'll say to me, like, you know, my dad hit me with a belt, or he would, you know, when I was a kid, if I did something wrong. And one time I said to him, I said, I know, but that was so long ago. Like, we don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that he's thinking about it. I'm just saying, like, he grew up different, a different time.
Yeah.
A lot of people were spanked. A lot of people, now we just look at him and like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, and
tell me your words.
use your words. And, you know, and I said to him one day, I'm like, I understand that your childhood was a little different in terms of the parenting styles and stuff. Yeah. But I'm like, it's 40 years later, David. Like, we're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. And he, you know, whether he chooses to or not, I don't know. But a lot of times you can't, you know, you have to clear all that out, the cobwebs out. Otherwise, you can't move forward.
But I think that's that mode of breathing. Like what I was telling you about is like, I don't think, you know, my siblings did something different for me is they kept going back to work, mm-hmm. you know, and work kind of work blocks everything. And I think a lot of people are afraid to accept, to deal with the situation, you know, and actually sit there and have to think about their feelings and anything in that nature. And I'm not saying that in David, I'm just saying is in general is taking the time and going, you know, I really need to just reflect on this. And kind of and read into it and accept whatever the heck is going to do to me, mm-hmm. and then get stronger, build a stronger, you know, persona to it, or you know, to adjust to it, you know, and accept the fact. Like I tell you, yeah, I'm still grieving. I still cry. I still have moments. But also, I have to remember too that I still have hopefully another 50 years or 40 years or whatever. I can't do this for 40 years, you know? And my dad would never want me to do this for 40 years, you know? And you have to eventually find a way to just move on. And you'll never forget it. It's just an adjustment. It's not a move on. It's just an adjustment. You're adjusting to the person not being there anymore, but you're also living the life that you need to be because there are other people in your life that want you, that need you around, that
need you present. And you have such amazing family. I mean, your siblings are just amazing.
Even looking what they went through, my sister lost a house, you know.
The Altadena fire.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that just kept happening. You know, my sister battled breast cancer and all this shit just happened in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like aside from the funerals, it's just, man.
It was a lot.
It was a huge punch. But
oh yeah, you had a lot. I mean, like almost like, are you fucking kidding me? You mean you're going to another funeral?
Well, even when I told you like you'd invite me to something, I'd give you something new. And I'm like, God, I feel like most of the time I'm typing you what's happening. I'm like, I feel like I'm lying to you. And I know part of you is like,
my dog ate my homework.
Yeah, exactly. It totally was a dog ate my homework, right? Because it felt like that. It just kept tying in that if like, I'm lying to you. Like it felt like I'm just, wow, I'm not really being, but it was all there. And I go, this sounds so unrealistic.
Yeah. Oh no, you had a shit storm with a shit ball and a shit bomb. Like, I don't even know. And it's just good to, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to say, oh, you're back and everything's, no, but it's different.
No, it's coming back.
But you have the spark and I love seeing it. And on a, you know, again, a selfish note.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one of the things that you did say to me right after, not right after your dad passed, but let's say a few months, you were dealing with more anxiety than normal and kind of, I don't want to say recluse, but kind of a recluse kind of moment. And one of the things one of the things you said to me was, if you need help, I want to kind of get back out there. So Tansy has helped me with several projects. And one of the things you're like, I want to see if I can kind of handle it, how I'm going to handle anxiety or being out of the house or being, you know, kind of just putting your toe back in the pool, right?
Yeah.
And, I had you help me with a project and, you know, I would have you help me all the time if I, you know, could. And also you didn't live, you know, an hour and a half away. But we have worked together. And we have had some interesting things. And I know when I had Kim on, we had talked about the hoarder house, but you also helped me with the hoarder house.
A different version of Kim's, yes, definitely.
Yeah, you were on the
I got the room that you didn't want to enter until I came.
Yep. I made her like pretty much be in there with me. I told you, we had there was some just bad juju in that house. And I was like, you have to be in this room with me. And she was there.
I think you feared like you're going to find a dead body in there.
I don't know what I feared, but there was something. It was either going to be a skeleton.
It was dark.
And so that was, you know, we did a lot of things, but you helped me with the hoarder house, which we all know was just funny. It was just funny stories. And again, early on in my business, would have done things very differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just sweating and we helped with another estate kind of thing.
Correct.
Just sweating. But one of the things that we We did. What was your funniest? Was there a funny story with that hoarder house that you have that maybe was different from Kim or
the funniest story? Well, Kim in general is just funny because like you'd be doing things and she'd just be talking up a storm about something, and half the time we're like, "What'd she say?" And you're like, "I don't know," you know. But like, you know, she was there. You know, I think we were both there for the same thing. It's like we needed some money and we just need to figure out how we can do it, but. Before Kim came, I think she came the second day because that was like a 3-dayer for us when I got involved before David started doing all the big hauling. But like, you wouldn't enter this room until I got there. You were waiting for me for some reason. Okay. So do they know your fear of spiders?
They do now.
Okay. Like, I mean, I'm talking, you have this fear of spiders that I've never, I mean, arachnophobia is not even the case. There's got to be something like Jennifer phobia or something. I don't know. There's got to be something. I don't know. You'd call me to drive an hour and a half to kill a spider for you. Like, it's ridiculous.
1,000%.
So anytime there's a web or anything like that, like you refuse to enter because you had this fear that you're going to be like hawking through some webs, like when you're entering, that you didn't even want to look in there until I got there.
Oh, no. Because I was, in my head, I had created this whole fucking story of what's going to happen. Exactly. I'm like, Tansy, what time are you getting here? Let's do it. Okay, I'm going to stand there and just stand next to you.
But you held that room for like 2 days. Yeah. Like, you're like, I will not go in there until you get here.
I will not go in there until you get
like,
there.
You're like, this will be a part of my plan when you get here. It was like the craziest thing. And it was a little, like, it wasn't as drastic as you thought.
But oh, God, no.
But it was dark and smelly. Like, mm-hmm. we just, and there was a moment we jokingly said, because it looked like there was a form in the bed. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
And we thought, we're like, is there a dead body here?
Oh, God.
Like, oh, no.
Oh,
here we
God.
Go.
Abort.
We're going to put a skeleton in this. Here we go. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let me see if we can find it. You know, I think, but then, like, as that, what was cool about it was, aside from the funny things, there was rat poop. Remember, all over the place. I'm like, just bring me a broom. Because, like, that was my paranoia because I hate rats. I'm like, I'm gonna like, pull something out and a rat's going to be coming out. But I'm like, there's no way a rat's going to be surviving this shithole.
Yeah.
There's no way. But as we, like, the cool part about it was as we started to clean it up and find things of his, we were discovering who this guy was and we started making up stories,
yeah.
remember?
Oh, yeah.
We're like, maybe he was this. Maybe he was this. Yeah. He had a military background.
He was in the CIA.
He was in the CIA.
And
look at all these ideas.
Radios. And he had ideas.
And made it fun because we're like, oh, look what I found here. This is a coin from whatever year. And, like, you're just like, oh, my God.
He was walking down the street. He did this and he did this and he did this. But you...
And the clothes... The trench and everything. Oh, yeah. Like, we kept finding these and the boots, and like, we're like, oh, what would these boots go to? Like,
he was a spy.
Like,
he was,
it started to kind of because that was one of the first major ones I did.
Major
with you.
Ones, yes.
And that was the fun part about it because it was just you and I. And I was like, and I do, you see a spider, you're like, okay, I'll be back. You know, and I clean it up for you.
I'm going to go to the car real quick. I have to get something.
Exactly.
See you in an hour.
You always had an excuse.
I did.
But yeah, that was probably the funniest part about that one before Kim came and we started getting into the kitchen. But at that time, yeah, in that room itself, that was like an experience in its own. And I'm like, this is what we're doing? Like, this is your job? Are you kidding me? I thought you were just organizing. Like, because I wasn't doing organizing with you prior to that. You know, that was the first time I actually started working with you. But that's when you're taking on some bigger challenges, which that was that challenge. Yeah, that person got a deal.
God, they got a deal.
I mean, what?
When I think about it now, I'm like, God, they got a deal. And that was just so funny. But I love having your help because we're in sync like a lot. Like sometimes don't even have to say what I need to do. And she'll help me. And she's helped me with several projects. And we had this one project. We had a couple. I mean, believe me, there was a couple. Remember when you went to Ojai with me? Kim went one day. You went one day because I was so fucking petrified of being on that.
That was a weird one.
But that was weird because it was such a huge property. And all I kept thinking was, there's so many spiders. There's going to be so many snakes. There's going to be so... And all had so much anxiety.
Aside from the spiders, I organized nails.
You did.
I don't even know why I was organizing nails.
I don't either.
That was the oddest thing in the world.
That was weird. I don't know that. But I mean, I don't know why. But did I have you do that?
He did. Remember?
I was organizing
the nails.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes.
What was happening?
I don't know. We just saw just whatever. But we went to this one house in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hot as fuck. It was probably one of the hotter times I've actually worked in a garage.
Yeah.
normally when I do garages, I try to do like early in the morning.
Yep.
If it's in the summer. And some people will have fans in there and that's fine. But when it's just stagnant air, you're like, it's 118. Like I can't, I mean, I'm sweating out my fucking eyeballs. Mm-hmm. Like literally my earlobes are sweating. We went there. You were a trooper. And this couple.
I see it as spending time with you, which
me too.
It's more fun for me because
I know.
Like,
and I do too laugh. Because it's we laugh, play
our rap
so
music
much.
Or whatever. And
we play our music. We pretend we're rappers. I mean, it's just amazing. And that's part of the reason it's so fun.
Yeah.
That's what I want, you know, when you said, I want you to help me, and you have several times, yeah. but with that one time, but you've helped me so many times. But this one was so weird because it was so fucking, I have to set up the scene. It was so fucking hot.
Yes.
I mean, it was so hot. The husband had sent up like an easy up, yeah. right? Because also too, remember you pull all this stuff out, it sits in the sun. If it's tools and stuff, I mean, you're burning your hands.
Exactly.
So he sent up this easy up and then his wife was pregnant, I think.
Yes.
And then she had like two little girls and
yes.
then she was in the house with them and they literally were
not on the same page.
Not on the same page. I don't even think on the same planet. And they were just having this total fight in front of us.
It was weird because I even asked you afterward, I go, who hired us, her or him? Because I was clear when we went that we're working on the garage. That was it.
Yep.
But she seemed to think that we were working on the shed and something else. And we weren't making it to that. And the timing wasn't falling into place. And I looked at you and I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? Like, what part of, I don't understand what's happening. Like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And that clearly they were not on the same page. And I think that's what caused the argument as well.
Oh my God. We were standing there. And I mean, I've seen this a lot, but Tansy and I were standing there. And we're like right in the middle of some, like, we're moving stuff up or we're doing something. And she comes out and she's just like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like telling her and she's like, no, I thought we were going to do this shit, whatever it was. And then it was just like a bomb went off of explosions of emotions. And you and I are standing there still holding the stuff that we're going to fucking put
me
up.
Me and my well-organized nails.
We're organized.
All different sizes.
Yeah.
Have no idea what the sizes are, but I just kind of went with it.
Standing there and they're fighting and it's not ending. Like, I just remember thinking.
It wasn't even calming down.
It wasn't, you know, usually there's this moment like, come on, you know, like what, this is what I thought, you know, and then they branch off, you know, because there's, I get it.
No, there's some
there
blows.
There was some blows. And also it wasn't ending and you and I are like, should go get something to eat.
Oh yeah, that was lunchtime. And we found a place to hold us over for a minute. Lunchtime.
First of all, we needed to go and get in an air conditioner because we were dying.
Yeah.
And second of all, the tension. I mean, to say it was palpable and you could cut it with a serrated knife wasn't even enough. I mean, this was, and we get in the car, we turn on the air, we're sitting there just freaking hydrating. We were dying. And we were just like, what the fuck. I mean, there's been situations I've had in houses and it's just, it's so tense and it's so unfortunate because you're like, I'm here to help you. And now they're not on the same book. They're in a different book. They're in a different zip code. And you're just like, I'm just here to help you organize your garage. Like, I don't know all about this other stuff because that's what the plan was. And
well, you remember what happened when we got back from lunch, right?
Tell me.
You ended up in the garage and I ended up checking markers. Because she refused to get rid of the markers that still work because she wanted to donate them to the school.
Oh, that's right.
And she started bringing stuff out from the house to organize.
That's right.
So then we got split.
That's right.
And all of a sudden we're doing two different projects.
And he was
livid.
He was literally going to explode. Like, if
yeah.
we actually saw brain matter, we would not have been surprised.
It's true.
He was dying. It was so crazy. But I just remember we got in the car. We were done. We're like, you know, I think we should kind of, like, maybe we're at a point where we should stop. Like, we didn't know. And, you know, how do you get out of that situation? And we've had a couple of those where it's just funny. You're just like, what the fuck's happening right now? And that was a what the fuck, dude.
I had fun with you. I mean, we made it fun.
We made it fun. Of course
we did. It was for a moment. Their cool part about them, they're like, oh, we got drinks for you in the fridge. It's all these Red Bulls. I don't know how many Red Bulls they create. I was like, they make this kind of Red Bull?
Yeah.
We just put our waters in there, but it's like a whole thing of Red Bulls.
Every color they make, apparently,
we're
there.
It was crazy.
Yeah, we were laughing. We made it fun, but we walked out of there. We were like, but I see that sometimes and it's so crazy. And then you helped me. What was the other one? I mean, you've helped me on several, but what was another one that we, didn't we walk out of there kind of like, what is happening? I feel like we did.
The Beanie Babies?
Oh, Beanie Babies.
The Beanie Babies was one of them. We couldn't touch any of the Beanie Babies.
No.
Don't touch them.
And we don't want to.
We didn't want to. We didn't know.
But they're going to save them. We're going to do a thing. They're going to save them.
We still don't know where the Beanie Babies ended.
They're in heaven. I don't know what's the happening. Beanie Babies. But yeah, we've had some fun things, but it's nice because, and especially when you were going through this last, you know, couple years, when you asked me to help, because you're like, I want to get back and just like get my feet back in the, yeah. Like put my toe in the pool. I'm like, oh, please come with me. Cause it's so much more fun. Obviously. I mean, I do listen to some rap when I'm by myself or EDM, but, yeah. It's nice to have you there because we fucking laugh. I mean, that's all we do.
It's just funny. It's funny what you run into. The random things that just pop up of, what they have or cool things sometimes, like cool closets. How many we saw some cool closets. I'm like, wow, these are some nice purses.
Oh, yeah. And
these
on
are
that,
some like whatever.
You just and- prompted my brain is in seven places. But so one of the houses that we did, they said, you know, oh, if there's any alcohol, there was this fridge.
Oh, yeah.
There was this fridge out in like, not in the house. I mean, it was in the kitchen, but there was like a side, like not a laundry room, but like they had another fridge, not quite in the garage, but it was a side fridge that they had. And they're like, take whatever you want. And like alcohol, we don't want. I mean, a lot of people offer stuff and it's like, I appreciate it, but I don't need it. But I'm like, no, we don't need any alcohol. And Tansy goes in and she's like, I'm going to go just see what's in there. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And you know, there's some waters or whatever. And she finds this bottle of
Dom Perignon.
But it was the Andy Warhol edition, yep. Right? So
nice and chilled.
And it was freezing cold. And she says to me,
carried it out like a baby.
She comes around the corner and she's holding it like she just won the, I don't know, Stanley Cup. I don't follow hockey, but I think that's the Stanley
Cup.
She's holding the Stanley Cup and she's like, Jennifer, and Tansy and I love champagne.
Yes.
We do love bubbly. And she goes, yes. I think I should take this. Now, I'm not really registering this bottle. I see that it's a bottle of Dom and I'm like, oh, yeah, because that's like, right, back in the day,
well,
that was
you did look in there, but you didn't. I didn't. I do deep dives.
She didn't.
Whenever you allow me to, I do a deep
she
dive.
She was diving. She had a snorkel and goggles.
I was ready.
And she was ready. And she
got my oxygen tank. I was like ready to go.
She was ready. And she comes out and she's holding it up like she just got won a trophy. And
that
she's
was
like,
my Olympic gold medal right there, man.
I think you had, kidding? There was two things you found that were, good or decent or things that you wanted, but it was that one. And I was like, oh yeah, Dom. Like, again, I'm thinking, oh, well, we get home and it's just you and I. Yeah. I think my mom
had to make it home.
David
yet,
had to make it home. My mom had Charlotte because we were doing this project. And she sets it down and Tansy is an absolute researcher. She will do it right then and there. Yes. She looks, first of all, this bottle was like, there was only so many made. It was Andy Warhol, and it was what, six?
It was in the 600 range.
And we're like, oh my God. So I'm thinking, okay, $150. So it's a $600 bottle. She busts that bad boy up. We sit there. We're still sweaty from our day.
Didn't even care.
It went down like water.
It was water. I now know what you all, those who could afford it, I get it now.
We understand us poor people who get, you know.
My 20 bottles my $20 bottles never compared to this. No.
And
no,
I feel that Wilson Creek has some good champagne. That stuff is swill to it. What?
Do you remember when David came home? Like, that bottle's worth blah, 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 blah. And we're like, yeah, we drank it.
We drank it and it went down so good. And we were smiling at every sip because
totally
when you know, when you experience anything worth more than $20, it's so good.
But
this is so good. And first of all, it was Dom, right? So you're like, oh my God. And second of all, it was so good, Tansy.
Goldschlager with your gold pieces had no comparison.
It was so good. And we walked out of there. We're like, you know what? All that sweat, our sweaty eyeballs, our sweaty earlobes, our sweaty everything, our dirty necks, whatever. It's fine. We got this. And we felt very victorious.
It was so smooth.
It was so good. And then after we drank it,
I think I kept that bottle for like 3 years.
Yeah. And it was funny because we were like, wait, should we have drank it? Or should we
Well, what's the point? Who cares?
Like, who's not drinking it? But yeah, we did that. And that was really great. And that was the finale to that just project that was hot and sweaty. Everything that happens is always, it's always hot. We're never doing this shit in December. It's always very sweaty. But that was the, I mean, that was, we won the gold cup there. We won, I don't even know. We won, I don't know, a day with Derek Jeter. I don't know.
It was, I don't know. It was worth it. It was a good find.
And on that note, I'm going to say, of course, you're going to be back. Of course, we're going to have more conversations and we're going to have 7,000 moments of laughter because we have so many stories. I, you know, it's funny. We sit down to these and I think to myself in my own little pea brain, oh my God, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. And you get on a thing and you missed 18,000 things. And it's so fun to talk to somebody that, you know, I mean, I've known you for, I would say 25 plus years. And I've seen you in 1,000 different scenarios and all of them, we've survived all of them. And
as
we're
I've
here,
seen you, yeah.
As you've seen me and you've seen me go through things and you've gone through things. And it's important to share that with, as you know, I have no siblings and I treat my friends as my family. And she is my sister and everybody goes through hard times. And sometimes we talk about these stories because you can relate to moments or time periods where maybe you're not yourself and you're back in a different capacity, but you're back. And I thank you for coming on the show. I thank you for being my friend and my sister. And I thank you for spending this time with me. And hopefully we'll be able to remember 100 more things on the next episode. So thank you. Please remember, like, subscribe, follow. How do you know if there's a new episode that's as cool as this one? You won't unless you do it. And you're my number one fan. Thank you so much. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.